Hi guys, welcome to this week's episode of Real Films. Today we're going to be talking about The Last of Us Season 2, Episode 2, and there's spoilers. If you haven't seen it, please don't listen to this podcast. It's not worth it. I'm going to jump right to it. Joel's dead.
So sad.
Joel's dead. I've already played the game and it sucks. In that scene, yeah, this is a sad episode. I have three guests here with me today.
I'm Ronnie.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Kennedy.
What's everyone's thoughts about this episode?
Well, I can finally understand why people were like looking at me weird and saying golf club. Because yeah. I did not play the game. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like everyone around me can finally take a breath because they don't have to keep this well-guarded secret anymore.
Yeah.
It was like hardly well guarded.
Yeah. I would say it was. I had no idea.
No, me and Jackson were so bad about it. Like, because it was that whole, like, just wait until episode 2.
I know, and I was like, I don't.
Kind of bad.
I had no idea.
But, yeah, so going over the plot of this episode, Dina and Joel, they're going on a, what do they call it?
Patrol?
Patrol. They're going on a patrol. And then meanwhile, in Jackson, Tommy and the rest of the town are trying to prepare for a infected mob. They're all coming for them.
Yeah.
And then during that, Jesse and Ellie are on their own patrol, and everyone gets caught in a snowstorm. And yeah, this is the gist of it. The one thing, the whole infected mob on Jackson was not in the game at all, and I kind of liked it.
No, I think that was a really cool scene to see, I think, because we do see the Horde in the game, but only in relation to Abby. And then after Joel died, it's kind of just like, well, that problem was taken care of.
That just happened.
So does it not, like, not only is it not shown in the game, but it also doesn't happen in the game? Like, it's not referenced?
It doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah, so Jackson never gets attacked.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it just happens.
That was so interesting in this episode. Like, after seeing episodes of everyone struggle so hard for, like, very small amounts of infected, it was really nice to finally see, like, they've had time to prepare.
Yeah.
They have things in place. Like, it was really interesting and so entertaining to see, like, this whole town finally, like, take action against them and still, I mean, lose a ton of people.
Yeah.
They
really ratcheted up the tension in this episode.
Yeah.
And the game, you know, you are, like, nervous about what's happening, but you're, like, you know, it's only very localized to what's happening with Joel. And now you have to worry about two things on two fronts. And I really like how they humanize the town at the start of the episode so that you have at least some sort of connection to what's happening.
Yeah.
And other than that, the battle is just, like, really, really cool.
The bloater part
with
the flamethrower made me so nervous. I really thought they were going to kill him right there. I was like, no.
It's so much like the game, too. The bloaters will just be like, you're like, oh, fuck, I'm fucked. And then they just drop right in front of you. You're like, oh, okay, I did it.
I really thought the bloater was going to launch one of the spores.
Yeah.
I know. Like,
they're not introducing that yet.
Yeah. I'm getting ahead of
I know, but that's the interesting thing of, like, it wasn't really a bloater, and it wasn't really another thing that will come up that we'll approach in later episodes. But
you,
like,
can spell it out, and I won't know what you're talking about. Because you can't spell.
I mean, you can say, like, one word, and I don't think she'll know.
Like, I've already said it.
I think I
so
already know.
If we're doing spoilers, shamblers. Like,
because
shamblers, they explode after they die, and this one didn't. But it also wasn't, you know, humid. I don't think it'd be humid enough for
this one. This one was a bloater.
That's what I'm saying. It seemed different from a bloater in a way. It seemed to be more of, like, it's an armored type of thing. Like, a bloater is very humid. It's very liquidous. Because it absorbs a lot of liquid, but this one seemed very stocky, not very, if that makes sense.
Wait, I think you're reversing. Shamblers are the one who are, like, less armored. They're more like juicy and then they explode stuff towards you, and the bloaters have always been, like, you know, the armored enemies, like in the gym in the first game, thing that comes out, that's a bloater right there.
Okay.
It's, like, pretty stocky.
I was gonna say the same thing, because I don't know what you're comparing it to. I don't know what shamblers are. And as I told Caitlin when we watched it, I was like, the other names indicate, like, what you know, like, what they're like. Yeah. But I have no idea what a shambler means.
They shamble.
They
only exist though. In Seattle, though, in the game canon. So it's not like, it's like a Seattle-specific thing.
Yeah, because I was going to say, the one we saw in this episode that was, you know, killed by the flamethrower definitely looks exactly like the other thing that they call the bloater. So yeah. I think that's what it is.
I'm pretty sure it was a bloater.
Yeah, it is.
And then, like, adding on to, like, the attack of Jackson, I did love the little balance and contrast they had. It was, like, the scope is very big. This entire town is under attack. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts the scenes when it's just, like, Joel and Dina.
Yeah.
With Abby's crew. It, like, the scope changes very quickly, but the suspense is still there. Yeah. Throughout the entire episode. Like, I was on the edge of...
Like, it's very faithful to how the game happens, even up to, like, the Abby gameplay section, mm-hmm. where she, like, encounters the Horde. I wasn't expecting it to be so faithful at that. They were going to switch stuff up, but, you know, now that I think about it, I'm like, I don't see how they could have done it any other way, and it works so well in the game, at least to me, that that was the way to go, at least with that.
Yeah.
And seeing her release the Horde, actually, because we don't see that portion in the game. The Horde just kind of emerges. But seeing her, like, stand upon their, like, frozen bodies and emerge from the snow was crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And they literally use the dead Horde to, like, get warmth, and they crawl out of it. And I don't know if you... Did you guys see, like, the last 5 minutes of the episode, almost? It's, like, after the credits. It's, like, the making of...
No.
That was, like, all practical, too.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, they, like, no, I should have watched it. I didn't know.
That's crazy.
They were legit in a literal snowstorm. I'm sure with, like, wind blowers and stuff. But, like, they're out there in the snow.
Yeah.
It's cold as hell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I feel like we're dancing. Dancing around.
Well, I just think because as two people who also played the game, we saw a lot more of the actual attack. Joel.
Oh yeah.
Like watching her hit him just with her bare fists over and over was very hard to watch.
It made it feel really personal to her. That's one thing. I realized this like last night as I was like after like watching the episode and processing this. We don't know any of the context at this part in the game.
No.
So I was kind of surprised the way they wrote it. Like I didn't think about it while I was watching, but it kind of seemed like she was kind of exposition dumping.
Which
I was like I'm kind of curious as to like why they wanted everyone to know the context of it. Like we knew last episode her goal was to kill Joel. We didn't know that in the game at all. We also now know her dad's dead and Joel is the reason why. They even like showed the flashback of him killing her dad. We didn't know that yet either.
No.
So it's a very interesting choice telling the audience immediately what her reason context was.
Well, first off, it's funny that Joel just, like, does not give a single fuck. I guess I did that, so what's going to happen? But, yeah, she doesn't do the speech in the game. She kind of... He cuts her off, actually, before she gets to do the speech.
Yep.
And here, I have conflicted feelings about the speech because, yes, they reveal, like, literally everything about her character, and we're now like, oh, well, that's her deal. I guess we got to go kill her now. But I also think it works on a character level. Abby's been, you know, preparing for this day for years and years, and she has this whole speech like built up, and she wants to, you know, drag it out and tell him everything and like make him try to feel like what she's felt. And even at the end of that, Joel's like, "Shut the fuck up."
He's like, "Get over with."
Which I kind of like that. It's we have two different, you know, we always will stop the game, so. I don't know.
Well, I think the thing is like in the game, the shock factor was mostly in the fact that you didn't know why she was doing it.
Right.
And I'm wondering if the decision is because the game is like 5 years old at this point. A lot of people do already know the motivation behind it. So maybe that's why they were just up front with it. But a big part of that was like, you don't know why this woman that you've been playing for about 30 minutes is now beating up a very beloved character in the franchise and killed him. So yeah, I don't know how I feel about that yet, but we'll see how they finish out the story before.
A lot of that, like, you know, introduction of Abby gets lost in translation. You know, we didn't play as anyone else besides Ellie and Joel in the first game.
Yeah.
And so to cut to Abby in the game, you're like, who the fuck is this? in the show, we're like, oh yeah, she told us. In the first episode, she's like, yeah, we're going to kill him. They could have still had that scene and not had that. And I think
they could have said anything, just dumb in front of a grave.
Yeah.
Very much agree.
I guess like adding on to what you said, I guess like in a way they wanted the audience to know the context behind Abby before she kills him. to almost feel like, all right, we get where she's coming from in a way.
Yeah.
In the game, it's like she kills him, and you're like, I want Ellie to kill Abby so bad.
Like right now.
But now it's like we know her backstory already, so it's like we still have hatred towards her, obviously, because we were with Joel and Ellie for an entire season. But now it's like, all right, we get where she's coming from. Because, like, if you switch her and Ellie around, probably would have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm, agreed.
And Neil Druckmann and Greg Mason, they were really going for Ellie and Abby to have, like, that mirroring type of qualities. So I guess they wanted to start that really early on for, like, motives, at least.
I heard that something was said yesterday about, was Tommy there in the game? Or, like,
ooh,
okay. Yeah.
He was there.
So in the game, right, in the patrol, it was Tommy and Joel, not Joel and Dina. Oh. Dina was with Ellie. So, like, you know, in the show, Jesse and Ellie, they get into, like, the weed farm area. That was supposed to be Dina and Ellie, actually. Mm-hmm. And they actually have, like, a romantic scene.
We lost that. We lost that scene. Oh, my God.
They scrapped that. They might save it for later on. True. Because I feel like they can build off their chemistry a little bit more.
True, just take
from one episode. Yeah. So, yeah, initially, it was supposed to be Tommy and Joel, actually, that were, like, captured by Abby's crew.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest criticisms that the game had, actually, was the way they gave their identity to Abby's crew, actually. So after Joel and Tommy, they save Abby from, like, the horde, right? Mm-hmm. They're in their, like, cabin loft area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy's like, hey, my name is Tommy, and this is my brother. And Joel is the one that actually gives out his name.
Mm.
And a lot of people were like, Joel's way too smart. He probably would have never done that, like, in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the show, in this episode, Dina's the one that calls Joel's name. And that's when Abby realizes, oh, this is Joel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, a child giving out the information. She has no idea what the context is. Joel obviously knows what he's done. So I guess I'm glad they're actually listening to audiences and the players. Like, hey, I think they made a mistake in this game. You probably would have done that. And they actually made the effort and changed that in the show. So I'll respect them for that, actually.
Yeah, small detail, but that actually does make all the difference. Yeah, you're right.
It's a slippery slope, though, because you can listen to all the criticisms of the first game, and then you have the situation where, you know, gamers complained about not knowing who Abby was and having to play herself for half the game. And then in the show, they're like, okay, well, people didn't like that. We're just going to tell people exactly what Abby's deal is.
And now we're here. We're kind of complaining back. Anyway.
Yeah, so it's a slippery slope. But I do think, I do like the change of Dina being with Joel. Mm-hmm. I think it gives them more of a relationship. So, and they set that up in the first episode too. So she has more of a reason to go after the killers, because in the game, she's just like, I'm ride or die for Ellie. That's all. The only reason so I'm true. Going. So yeah, I like the change.
Because they, in the game, there was not a single dynamic between Joel and Dina, to my interpretation at least.
Nope.
And in the first episode, they made it clear, like, Joel even makes a comment where, like, she's not even my daughter, and they have, like, that sort of relationship. Yeah. So it was good seeing how Ellie and Dina both have a connection towards Joel, which will lead to, like, motivation and stuff like that, which that was not explored at the game at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest issues probably with this season is they're kind of fighting already an uphill battle of the second game was already so decisive. All, like, no fan had ever had the same opinion. Everybody has a problem with a different area. So to make a show off of that, you're also not going to get your... But they seem to be doing their best. Like, it's kind of something where I'm like, just I'm gonna ride it through and see how those changes accumulate at the end, because this is gonna be a hard story to tell, and it's definitely not gonna please everybody.
All the changes they made for this episode compared to the game, I thought they did pretty good.
It was very
like
happy.
Adding the Jackson storyline brought a good balance, because I feel like if we were in the Joel Dina storyline for the entire episode, like, it's good to have something else to turn back to that is just as suspenseful.
Mm-hmm.
I also do like the choice that Tommy wasn't there with Joel. Now that gives him even more motivation, because before the Horde were coming in, he was like, where's my brother at? Like, the radio person, he wanted him back as soon as possible. He was even willing to go at one point before they found out.
Guys.
Yes.
I'm sorry. In the first season, it's Joel who's on the radio trying to get Tommy.
Oh.
And then they do the fucking reverse. this where it's like, I put that together last night and I was like, they cooked.
They cooked. Because that was the thing, is I was like, Tommy, regardless if he was in that cabin or not, has motivation to go after Joel's killer. Like, they're very ride or die brothers. He did not need to be in that cabin and see what happened to be like, I'm going to kill them. I think I agreed with that choice to not have Tommy there.
It almost adds a lack of guilt almost for him. Like, he probably feels guilty that he wasn't with them, like in the game he was with them. Do you guys see like the trailer for the next episode?
I didn't know. Let's not say that. Real quick though, I did want to ask Kennedy, as somebody who didn't play the game, did you think that Joel was going to die?
When she was, as soon as she actually started to beat him up, yes. So like, I was like, he's dead. Yeah. There's no way. Yeah. she's too far gone about it. And I'm not surprised that someone left over from what he did hunted him down. And, you know, like, I wasn't expecting him to die in this season. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it was, like, heading that way, I'm not surprised that somebody was after him and would do anything to kill him. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not surprised by that.
So was it until Abby started beating him that you were like, oh my god, Joel's about to die? Or did you suspect it in the, like...
No, I thought like, right before she even shot him, I was like, there's maybe still a chance he can make it out of this. And then as soon as he was shot, pretty much, it was like, no, he's dead. He's dead. Like, she's fully committing to it.
Yep.
She's doing what she set out to do.
I know for, like, the people that, like, played the game, at least for me, I thought his death was still impactful, maybe even a little bit more.
Very much so. Impactful. Because
I think Pedro Pascal, he did very little things while he was getting beaten to death. And when he actually did die, I don't know if you guys, I told Ronnie this after we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
When, okay, I'm going to circle back a little bit, actually.
Yeah.
When Ellie gets into the cabin, right, and she gets hit, that's where the game cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it cuts during the last strike that Abby does, right?
Yeah. Yep.
There's no scene in the game where Ellie crawls over to Joel,
hugs
him, and, like, holds his hand.
Well, also, and he looks over at her.
He tries to get up.
Yeah, he tries to get up.
Yeah.
I was, like, rotating my head. I was like, did I see his eye twitch
a little
bit? Yeah, he's lifting himself off the ground because of Ellie asking him to get up. That makes me really sad.
And then it just showed, like, she didn't want him to be alone, like, at all.
Yeah.
Like, trying to comfort him because, like, she knew
at
that point, at least. I thought Bella, she gave a really good performance.
She did.
Can I make you guys even more sad?
Yeah. There was actually... Sorry, back to your question about, like, did I think he was still going to make it out? I was like, she's going to kill him for sure. Mm. But I will say, just for a second, when Ellie's also on the floor and is like, get up, and she's obviously, she looks the same age that Abby was when her dad died.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought, I was like, is she going to, like, be like, I'm doing the same thing? But she doesn't. And so I thought that kind of, like, solidified what they were trying to convey, which was, like, it's just more hatred. That's a cycle of more hatred and more killing and more killing. Like, you're doing the same thing that happened to you.
I mean, like, I think, but it sets up that thing of Abby when she gives that speech of, like, there are just some things that are so wrong. That, like, in that ironic way, she and Joel were the same person on the Salt Lake hospital thing, and her, both of them, regardless of how wrong it was, were like, I'm gonna do it, and nobody's gonna stop me. I don't think that even Ellie screaming out, like, that's my dad, don't kill my dad, I don't think she would have stopped for anything.
No, she wouldn't.
It's interesting how they age drop Abby. They make her older than Ellie in the show.
Yeah.
They don't do that in the game.
Oh.
So then they try to line it up with Abby being 19 and then Ellie being 19.
Yeah.
That's not ever emphasized in the game. And like Caitlin was saying,
she said
she was
19 at the beginning, right? 5 years before she was 19.
Yeah, that's when her
dad
died.
Her dad died.
So, like, speaking of what Caitlin was saying, it highlights that cycle.
Yep.
Even if it's a bit on the nose, which I think it kind of is. it's interesting in that way. But I want to make you guys more sad because that's my job. There's an interview with Craig Mazin, and you know how Ellie's crawling over to... go to Joel. You know, she's seriously injured. She gets kicked in the stomach by a fully grown man at full force.
Yes.
Craig Mazin said when he was, like, writing the scene, you know, Ellie's thinking that she's going to die too. So she crawls over to Joel to die with him. Not because she wants to comfort him.
Oh my God.
Which,
Really?
Yeah. And can we speak about Bella for a second? This is a very Tommy and Joel and, like, everybody else-centered episode.
Yeah.
Bella comes in at the end of the episode, and she does in, like, 2 minutes what she needs to do.
Yeah.
Like, and she makes up for the entire episode.
She's so good. Show stolen. I mean, I was kind of nervous because the game show and with like how the game portrays it and the voice actor for Ellie, utterly like also an emotional performance. Like Ellie screaming in the game, I was like, I don't know if anybody can get to that level. And Bella delivered. Bella delivered.
And that's like one of the main differences between games, especially now, like with how they're doing, like, because they did mocap. For that, obviously, there's only certain emotions you can really see through like character models and stuff like that. When you have two actual people doing it, it's the little details that just make it hit.
That's what made it worse for me. Like seeing Joel get beat up in the game, I never cried about that. I didn't cry on the show either, because that and like, the game, I was like more shocked, and you know, the leaks and everything that happened, I kind of knew. Like seeing, like hearing Pedro Pascal getting beat the fuck up and him screaming is like a very different experience from having Joel, a video game character, get beat up.
Real quick, something I will point out is when Ellie's sneaking into the cabin and you hear Abby screaming, I was like, she sounds exactly like a clicker. Like Ellie, when she walked in there, had no idea what was going on. Like if you go back and listen to it, she's just, she's screaming exactly the way that like a runner would, or not a clicker, a runner would scream. So, like, I wonder if Ellie was even walking into that thinking that's a person, or if she was expecting an
intruder. She's going to go in the
garden.
She
knew something was up. Like,
I kind of thought she might think it's Dina. Like, because she knew Dina was also in that building somewhere, and it does kind of sound like, you know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
This will come back later in the season, but it's interesting that they put Dina to sleep instead of knocking her out, because a lot of what happens later... And Abby's justification for it is built on that fact.
Another group that I completely forgot about was we see a lot more of Abby's crew in this episode. I do like all the actors they got, actually, for that. I feel like the dialogue was a little off sometimes with when they were saying stuff. But I feel like we already learned so much about the type of people they are. Like for Owen, for example, he was ready to get them out of there.
Yeah.
He's like, we're gonna die. This isn't worth it. Let's change your mind and get back. It really shows, like, all right, this dude just cares about his friends and stuff like that. Another person, Mel, was also very hesitant. I don't know about like you guys. I didn't like her at the game.
Was
Mel?
I'm a Mel supporter.
You're a Mel supporter.
I'm a Mel supporter.
The that drug,
okay,
Dina.
That's what I.
She's a doctor.
Okay. I have my problems with Mel in the game because. And this can't be replicated in the show, which is so sad. Yeah. But you play the entire last section as Abby, and then Mel does something to Abby, and I'm like, fuck her. And then I'm realizing, oh, I like cared about Abby in that moment because of that. So just for that, not a Mel supporter. But I understand why you would be.
But like in this episode, like she seemed fine, actually. Like she was also against it. Like at one point, she wanted Joel to tell the truth of what he did.
Yep.
And she was straight up like, if you don't tell it, I'm going to kill Dina. And everyone, Mel just looks at her and she's like, wait, what? That wasn't like part of the plan and stuff like that.
I was a bit confused just why all the members of this team follow Abby's lead to such a like degree. Because it seems like none of them are like, it seems like this is just her revenge and solely hers. Like even though they're all devastated, it doesn't feel like any of them wanted to do this. And so I am like, I genuinely don't know why they're following her this way. And I don't know if it's because like, maybe I'll learn in other episodes, like there's a specific reason. But right now I was just kind of confused. Like, why is no one doing anything? And that's part of the painful, part of the pain of that scene is that no one's doing anything. Like no one's going to step in because this is like, they all are just like, this is what Abby was going to do. So
I think as of right now, they're all part of the Fireflies, which is the big thing. So they were like in the same group.
Yeah.
And Joel killed like 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number drop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was obviously personal to Abby because that was like her actual dad was one of them. But for the rest, you know, it was just like fellow like soldiers almost in a way.
Yeah.
But there's more justification.
There is
for
more.
That.
As of right now, this is what we know. Yeah. But they're just trying to support a friend at this point.
Yeah, but I also find it interesting to Kennedy's point of like that. I think we get a lot more of that, like, why isn't anybody doing anything once we get to like Abby beating Joel with her fists and nobody in the room besides, I think, like Manny can look at what's happening. I mean, Mel sobbing in the corner, Owen can't, like.
Owen's telling her to stop.
Yeah, because the thing is like Abby in the game is very tall, very muscular. Like,
yeah.
Even if Owen tried, I don't think he could have. I don't think he could have. But like, this actress, Kate—I forgot what her last name is.
Dever.
Yeah. She's the same size as Ellie. She's a very small woman. Like, and so I think it adds to this like bystander effect, almost like groupthink, of like everybody in that room wanted it to stop.
Yeah.
But nobody was stopping her from just pummeling him to death.
I think, like, an important change from the game is, you know, like you said, instead of Ellie getting knocked out and then we wake up later, we're like, oh, shit, like, it's real. Like, we get to see them literally look at Ellie on the floor and then walk out of the room.
Yep. Yeah.
We don't get to see that in the game. It just makes them seem way more cold, and it makes the situation seem... It makes them way more villainous. I thought they... This whole speech and the way that Caitlin Dever plays Abby in that scene makes her more of a villain than she ever was in the game, even though she's doing, you know, that.
Also, shout out Pedro Pascal real quick for posting a picture with him and Caitlin Dever. I mean, like, you leave her alone. She's great. I think that was definitely the right move because everybody was kind of scared for her being before this episode came out, being like, how are people going to react?
You know, better have all social media turned off, isolated island. Yeah.
I was telling actually Jason, so true.
Like, yeah. No, I really hope she doesn't get like a weird amount of hate. Yeah.
Before the show started, I was telling Jason, like, I was online and like maybe it's because the game already came out, but like it was not nearly, it's like 10% as bad as it was for the game.
Yeah.
When Joel died. Dude. And people sent death threats to that actress's
that's such a horrible thing that people do. I don't understand.
Like, that's not happening.
That is their job.
Not even her body.
Like, not even her body.
Yeah.
It's
the voice too. Oh my god.
So in that regard, I think Caitlin Dever might be fine.
Okay, yeah. Good. Good.
It was insane times in 2020. And we're all cooped up. Maybe that was why.
Yeah. And again, nobody knew. I feel like a lot of people either played the game or they got spoiled. And I think we've had a big conversation in the social hemisphere being like, hey, let's start separating.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Because that's crazy to be like, you killed him. And it's like, they're both alive, actually.
Yeah, actually, he's still around.
Actually, Pedro Pascal is still breathing.
He's going to get three more movies this year.
He's also not 60, so that's something else. Yeah, also, infected aren't real. Yeah, and something else as well.
It's not the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
I mean, Flash...
He's in all 7 episodes, according to IMDb.
He's going
to
be in every season. He's
getting that bag. He's getting that bag.
He's MCU now, guys, which means he'll be with us forever.
Yeah, he's there.
But just like a last note, do you guys know what the song was they played?
Oh, for sure.
After Through the Valley?
Mm-hmm.
It's
I do, because I was,
Ashley Johnson. She was the one who voiced Ellie. Yeah, I thought that was kind of sweet how they did that. Overall, I thought it was a really good episode. I would say it's one of the best episodes of the show. It's either that or episode 5 of last season.
Nicholas Hart.
Yeah.
Those two are easily... I was looking on, like... I saw some reviews online which trashed this episode, and I was like, what show did you guys watch? I don't know.
That's great.
Welcome back to 2020.
But, no. I thought they respected the source material of the game very well.
Agreed.
They added new things, which I thought just reinforced what the emotions and suspense we wanted from this episode.
Mm.
I thought they did really good. I'm also very excited to see the rest of the season. And also the changes they might make, because they're clearly adding new things. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, this whole episode, even if we took out all the good acting bits, just the scene shots that we got, I was like, this is cinematography.
Yeah.
I was like... We're bringing it back.
The scope of everything is so big.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And we keep forgetting this is a TV show. Yep. It's not a movie. And if I saw this on the big screen, oh my God.
I wouldn't think playing this in theaters, actually.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
This is like a make or break episode for the game, obviously, but also for this show.
Mm-hmm.
Some people won't go forward.
No.
And I don't blame them because...
But I feel like people should keep watching because they want to see what happens.
Well, they definitely should.
Almost. Yeah.
That was a conversation that we had with somebody that we were watching it with last night. somebody in the group is like, are we watching this alone now? Like, are you just gonna... And it was like, I think that there is a story worth telling here.
For sure.
Even though Joel is dead, the story that follows his death doesn't he's not just gone. That's the thing. This is a story worth finishing out, and I'm excited for it.
Like, that scene, that part, that's really what jumpstarts this storyline.
It's a catalyst at the end.
Yeah, this episode was great. Everyone should watch The Last of Us Season 1 and then also watch the first two episodes. Super excited. Thank you to all my guests today.
Thank you.
And that was this week's episode of Real Films. We'll be back next week. Go Utes!
Woo! Utes. Woo.